Shalom, good morning. Let's begin our shir today. Again, it's sponsored by David Kahana, memory of his father-in-law, Zev Ben Shlomo, and also in the merit of a refuah shlema for Rabbi Sonnenschein's mother, Charna Tova, Bas Rachel Leah. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, Neshama will have an aliyah, and the refuah shlema for Kol Chole Yisrael. All right, so we left off. Today's daf is Nun Beis. So we left off on the last line of Nun Aleph Amud Beis. Okay, so the Gemara said the following: Ketzad Asa Ma'amar. So remember again, the way the Mishnah read was the Mishnah recorded the Machlokes between Rabbi Gamliel and the Rabbanon, or the Chacham Mashe, say in terms of is there ma'amar achar ma'amar or get achar get. Rabbi Gamliel paskino, Chachamim said yes, and then the Mishnah said Ketzad. What's the case? He did ma'amar, and then he gave her a get. So what's I said? The Gemara says over here, what's going on? Ketzar asa ma'amar, top of nun base. So the Gemara says, hi. Okay, hi, I'm sorry. Stop of nun base. Hi get achar getu. So the Gemara says like this, so what's I say? The Gemara points out that the Mishnah does not seem to read correctly, because the Mishnah begins by discussing a case of get achar get or ma'amar achar ma'amar, and then illustrates it with a case of where he does ma'amar, and then afterwards goes ahead and gives a get. So how is that a case of get achar get? Amar Rav Yehuda said, Hachi kamar, this is what it means to say. Get achar get, ma'amar achar ma'amar, kid amron. So both say, if he does get achar get, ma'amar achar ma'amar, that's, we saw this all yesterday, in yesterday's Mishnah, that's in accordance with what you already said. However, again, kid amron, yavam echad v'yavama achos, Ketzad. What's the case? Now, both remember, in the first case of the Mishnah, of the Machlokes Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim, the way that the Gemara framed the case is that we're talking about a situation of one Yavam with two Yavamos, right? One Yavam with two widows, and he does two processes, one to each widow. Then the Gemara says, then the way the Gemara understands that the Mishnah is saying is, but however, the case of Yavam Echad V'Yavama Achas Ketzad, what's the case where we'd only be dealing with one Yavam and one Yavama? Then the Gemara says, Kesar Hatarasan, Asa Ma'amar Biyavimto, V'nasan Laget, Tzri Chaymena Chalitza. So again, therefore, what does the Mishnah say? What's the case of Yavam Echad and Yavama Achas? So which the Gemara says, if he did Ma'amar and then ultimately gave for a get, he still has to do Chalitza. So we'll say, essentially, what the Gemara is saying over here is that when the Mishnah said Ketzad, whereas normally Ketzad means, how do we see, or give me a case that expresses the previously established rule, in our Mishnah, Ketzad meant something different. In our Mishnah, Ketzad actually introduced a new case. That whereas in the first case, in Machlokes Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim, we're dealing with one Yavam and two Yavamos, two widows, the Ketzad situation introduces a new category of one Yavam and one Yavama. In which case, again, that case was talking about a situation where the Yavam first does Ma'amar, then gives her a get, to which the Mishnah rules that in order to dissolve the bond, he must then do Chalitza. Okay, Asa Ma'amar Ubal Hari Zumitzvas. And I'm saying, now this is very interesting, because if you remember again, and this is going to open the door for a fascinating discussion. The Mishnah said that if the Yavam did Ma'amar, remember again, Ma'amar, we're going to define it more actually in today's daf, but Ma'amar is like this Kiddushin process for Yibum. So if the Yavam did Ma'amar, and then Baal, and then had relations with the Yavama, Hari Zuki Mitzvasa. This is the mitzvah of Yibum. Says the Gemara, Le'am Esayelei de Rafuna. This statement of the Mishnah would seem to support the statement of Rafuna. Da'am Rafuna, Mitzvahs Yivama, Yikadesh, V'achar Mikadesh, V'achar Kach Boel. So we'll say Rafuna is of the opinion that the way you are supposed to perform Yibum is first do Ma'amar, Kiddushin, and only afterwards relations. And I will say, now what's fascinating about this is the Gemara is picking up on here is like this. We always thought that kind of Ma'amar was just an add-on thing, right? Remember, we even just like, why would a person do that? We spoke about the idea. We saw earlier Rashi pointed out that it could be done in situations where the Yavam wanted to assure the Yavama that he was going to do Yibum with her, but perhaps for whatever reason cannot do it right now. Now what the Gemara is suggesting is the fact that the Mishnah said that if you do Ma'amar and then relations, Harizuki Mitzvasa, this is the mitzvah of Yibum, seems to support Rav Huna. And Rav Huna says because when you do Yibum, you are really supposed to do Ma'amar first and then only Bia afterwards. So the Gemara says the following. So the Gemara says, Vachach Ema. Af zeki mitzvasa. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the way you should read the Mishnah is not harizuki mitzvasa. This is the mitzvah. Rather, af zeki mitzvasa. If you did it like this, it's even like the mitzvah. Which Rabosei tells me what? I don't have to do ma'amar. But if I did ma'amar, it's okay. To which the Gemara says, pshita. But is that not obvious? Of course, if you did, who's going to say that if you did ma'amar, that it's not good, that it somehow undermines the Yibum? Other Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Sagadai Tchamina, I might have thought, Kevan do Amar Mar, Ha'ose Ma'amar Biyavimto, Parcha Mimena, Hemena, Zekas Yavmin, V'chala Alav, Zekas Erisin Vinisun. I'll say, listen to this. Because again, Mar said, that if a person does a ma'amar with his yivama, what happens, Rabosei? So the zeka, the connection of yibum, leaves him, and what devolves upon them in place? A regular zeka of irisin, a regular connection of irisin and nisuin. And in that case, what? Ema lav mitzvah ka'avid. I might have thought, Rabosei, that essentially, the hayus the havamina, that when a man does ma'amar with the yivama, essentially what he's doing is, he's dissolving the yibum bond, and replacing that with what? Replacing that with a normal marital bond. There's only one problem, which is, that Lamaisa, this woman is usher to you, when it's not in the context of a mitzvah. So I might have thought that once you do ma'amar, you dissolve the yibum bond, and you replace it with normal erusin, or normal erusin and nisuin, which could potentially preclude the relationship from ever taking off, to which the Gemara says, kamashmolo, no. Kamashmo, not like that. Kamashmo, that ma'amar does not dissolve the bond. So we'll say, what we're left with over here is something very interesting, which is that the Mishnah is teaching us a new idea, which is this concept that perhaps ma'amar is not just something you can do, but at least according to Rav Huna, ma'amar is something that absolutely should be done as part of the yibum process. Now remember, Rav Huna is not suggesting that if you didn't do ma'amar, that yibum is not good. No one could suggest that because biblically all you need is bia, but Lamaisa Rav Huna is introducing us to this idea that ma'amar really should be part of the yibum process. Gufa. Rav Huna, mitzvah yavmin. So we'll say, the Gemara is not quoting the Braisa before. Rav Huna said that the mitzvah of Yibum, mekadesh va'achar kach boel. You should first do Kiddushin. Remember, Kiddushin in this context means ma'amar. You should do Kiddushin, and only afterwards have relations. V'im ba'al va'asa ma'amar. But however, if relations took place first, and then he did ma'amar, kana. Kana, he acquires, meaning Yibum is affected. In ba'al va'asa ma'amar pshita, da'kanya bebiya. So, obviously, if you did bia already, who even cares about the ma'amar? Of course you've affected Yibum, because Yibum itself is just affected straight by ma'amar. Ela ima in ba'al below ma'amar kana. Rather, what it's teaching us is that even if there was relations and ma'amar never happened, because we're supposed to say, obviously, there's no logic to if the bia already occurred, there's no logic to afterwards having the ma'amar. That obviously is not going to happen. The idea ultimately is that if you did the bia without the ma'amar, the yibum is still good. I v'hatanya loke makas mardus. I have also listened to this. But yet we learned that if you do bia without ma'amar, you get lashes. Now, also remember, makas mardus means rabbinic lashes. You get makas mardus, to which the Gemara says, you're right, midirai banon. That's only rabbinically. Look at Rashi, Rabosai. Vatanya loke, ve'ig malkos arboim el al divrei Torah, amal doraisi, v'hachi amrit kana, v'kamashani hai loke la malkos arboim hu, el makas mardus. Read you, dirai banon, shenag kalus rosh batol the olam kana. Now, also, we're going to see this in the Rambam if we have time a little bit later. You get malkus. Why? Because the rabbis are not happy with the way you affected this relationship. And again, when the rabbis are not happy with something that you did, they have the ability to administer rabbinic lashes. So the Gemara says that the Gemara gives other examples of situations where the rabbis mandated lashes because they felt that a person was behaving perhaps in a little bit of an immoral fashion. Dirav mangid mand mekadish bebia. Rav would go out and give lashes to someone who was mekadish with bia. We must remember again, opening Mishnah of Maseches Kiddushin, that there are three ways in which a man can be Mekadesh woman: Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. So although today we do Kesef, technically speaking, if a man does Kiddushin with Bia, it works. Rav would give lashes to a man who went ahead and did Kiddushin with Bia. And I'll say the Rashi says, Mishum Pritzusa, because Rav felt it opens the door for immorality. Next, A man who betrothed his wife in the shuk, in the marketplace. Marriage is sacred. Marriage is holy. Marriage is serious. If one is being mekadesh his wife in the shuk, right? Can you imagine that? Besides the fact that she better say no if you're proposing in the shuk, right? You are not a keeper, right? In any event, so again, therefore Rashi also says, same idea, it's Mishum Pritzusa, it just doesn't look right. Or a man de mekadesh below shiduchi. I will say, or a man who is mekadesh without shiduchin. Now shiduchin in this context means financial arrangements. Financial arrangements, if you're going to get married, your wife deserves to know how exactly you're going to support her and how you're going to provide for her. So getting married without shiduchin, ultimately Rav would give lashes. Umad de mevatel gita, Rav would also go ahead and give lashes to a man who is mevatel getter. But I remember again, mevatel gita is a case, if Reuven's divorcing his wife and he sends a get with a shaliach, and what happens? And then Reuven convenes a beis din. And Reuven says in front of the basin, I'm mevatel the get. I don't want to give it anymore. So as long as it has not yet reached the woman, then what? Technically speaking, the bittel works. Now, I'll say, obviously, that is a huge problem. Because if the shliach doesn't know that the husband is mevatel the get, the wife does not know the husband is mevatel the get, the shliach, especially if the wife is overseas, shliach gives the get, wife thinks she's divorced, gets remarried, and then mamish mamzerim all over the place, then we've got big problems. So Rav would go in and give Malkus such a situation. Uman de maser moda agita. Listen to this. Rav would also give lashes if a man said that he was being coerced to give a get. I will say, remember again, we'll get to this in Gittin Emir Tzashem, but in Gittin there is a concept of kofin oso ashiyoma rotsani, that literally you could force a man to give a get until he says, I want to. In other words, you can literally beat him up until he actually says, I'm willing to give it. Why? Because sometimes we believe you have to beat the good out of a person. Mm. Right, Mamish, there are sometimes the good is so, now don't try this at home, We do this really only for agunos. That's the only time we really beat people up for the sake of finding their inner good. So therefore, again, I'm going to say, if a man says, I'm giving it under coercion, what do we do? It's interesting. What do? We give him lashes, right? You think that's coercion? I'll show you coercion. So the idea over here is because, obviously, if a husband said he's being coerced to give a get, such a get does not work. Obviously, we'll see all of these cases in our journeys through Shas. Uman de pakir shlicha drabanan, and one who is disparaging towards a shliach of Beis Din, because being disparaging, being disrespectful to a shliach of Beis Din is like being disrespectful to the Rabbanim, to the Beis Din itself. Similarly, one who's in a state of excommunication, and he allows that state of excommunication to remain in effect for 30 days, and does not show up at Beis Din to try to appeal it. So we'll say, and also Rav would also give lashes to a son-in-law who lived in his father-in-law's house. Now, what's the issue over here? If you take a look, Rashi doesn't have it over here. So we'll say, this is actually for a totally different reason than what, this is actually, Chazal were actually concerned that sometimes, again, there is a great affinity between a mother-in-law and her son-in-law, and that ultimately, again, it could lead to certain immorality if they're in constant close proximity to one another. Right? Right, so in a situation ultimately again where there was a fear of immorality, so the Gemara says, now it only appears that this was an issue if the son-in-law lived by his in-law's house, but chalif means that he would come in and out, would not be a problem. But there was once a guy who would literally come in and out of his in-law's home, and Rav Sheshes gave him lashes. Oh, because in that case, Hahu made them hava dayim mechamse. Their rumors were already going around that he was what? That he was suspected of adultery, of immorality with his mother-in-law. Nahardoi Amru, Srabose, the Nahardoim said, Bikulu loman gid Rav. So Rabbi say, according to the Nardoi version of this, they disagree. They say Rav did not give lashes in any of these cases. The only case where Rav would administer lashes was when elul mekadesh bebia ubalo shiduche. The only case where Rav would give lashes would be a case of where a man affected kiddushin with bia, and without shiduche. without any kind of previous financial arrangements. That's where Rav would go ahead and give lashes. V'ikad Amri, others explain, afilu bishiduche nami mishum pritzusa. Know that Rav would even give lashes in a situation of man was mekadish bebiya, even if what? Even if there were financial arrangements in place. So Tan Rabbanan, remember the whole reason we stated this was because what the Gemara is suggesting over here now is that according to the position espoused by Rav Huna and seemingly backed up by our Mishnah, if a man does Yibum without Ma'amar, that would also be grounds for lashes because it appears to be immoral, meaning there has to be a step prior to the Bia itself. We'll see how he passed like that halacha lemaisa. Tan Rabbanan, Ketzad Ma'amar. So we'll see how the Gemara says, by the way, what is Ma'amar? Right? Meaning, how exactly we've been talking about this term all of this time, but how does one actually affect Ma'amar? So the Gemara says, Nasan la kesef, o shave kesef. If a person goes ahead and gives the woman kesef or shave kesef, Nasan la kesef, o shave kesef. So fine, Nasan la kesef, shave kesef. So we'll say, how do you affect Ma'amar? Same way as you affect Kiddushin, you go ahead and you give her kesef, obviously either money or something of value. Ubishtar ketzad. And how do you go ahead and affect Ma'amar with the shtar? Meaning the assumption is that any vehicle that you could use for Kiddushin, you could use for Ma'amar as well. So you could affect Kiddushin with Kesef. You could affect Kiddushin with shtar. So you should be able to affect Ma'amar with shtar also. How do you affect Ma'amar with the shtar? Bishtar Keitzad, what do you mean with the shtar? How do you do it? Kida Amran, as we said, Kasav la alaniyar o ala cheres. If you went ahead and you wrote for her on a piece of paper or even on a pottery shard, afa pi she'ein ba shaver pruta, even though the paper or the pottery shard doesn't itself have monetary value, hari at mikudeshesli, and you just write on it the phrase, behold, you are betrothed to me. Amar Abai, Rabbi says, this is what it means to say, hachi kamar, shtar ksuvas yavmin ketz. I mean, I don't have any questions as to how I'm supposed to write a shtar of Ma'amar. That I understand, it's so different than a shtar kiddushin. What I want to know is that what does the shtar of a ksuva of Yibum look like? Because we'll say, and remember, there has to be some form of we'll call it ksuva document between the Yavam and the Yavama. What does that document say? So the Gemara says, Kate, and I'll tell you. Okay, I'm sorry. Kasav la, ana ploni bar ploni, kabilas yas plonis yivim dialai, lozun u lefarnes karoi. Lefarnes karoi. So what does it say? I, so-and-so, ploni bar ploni, so-and-so the son of so-and-so, accept upon myself to marry my Yavama, to marry my deceased brother's wife, my sister-in-law, and I agree to support her and to take care of her in an appropriate way. However, ubilvad shetek suvas al nichsei baila harishon. With one exception, I will maintain her constant support. With one exception, her ksuva. Now, I will say, see what's interesting is the following. In this context, what does ksuva mean? Ksuva means the lump sum payout in the event of death or divorce will not be upon me, the yavam, but rather will what? Will be upon the property of my deceased brother. So we'll say this is actually very interesting. We are going to talk about this more in depth later on in this Masechta, because not everybody agrees with this construct. Because in this construct here, what we're saying is the Yavam essentially agrees to support his wife. The day-to-day support will come from him. It's just that the greater ksuva obligation will come from the property of his deceased brother. I'm sorry?
The brother comes to
the... Everything becomes the Yavam. Meaning the nafkamina on that is here, v'lesli merishon, let's say the deceased brother had no property. Takina l'rabbanan misheni. Then in that case, again, the Yavam must provide his sister-in-law, his new wife, with a brand new ksuva, fully from his estate. Kadesh lo te kalabein of lotzia. Because what's the Chazal mandated that every woman has a ksuva in order that her husband think twice before divorcing her. Boy mine Abai me Rabba. So Abai asked the kasha from Rabba. Nasan la get va amar hare at migoreshes hemeni vi at muteres lechol adam mahu. Supposed to listen to this. Let's say he gave her a get. Rashi says, Nasan la get yavam li yavimto. It's not a Yibim case. Reuven dies, leaves behind the widow Rachel. Shimon is the surviving brother. So Shimon gives her a get. And this is before Yibim. And Shimon says to her, you are migureshes from me, but you are not permitted to any other man. So the Gemara says, mahu. So what's the status of that get? So on one hand we say, get yivama derabbanan hu. On the other hand, the whole notion of a get by yibum, right? Remember, this is pre-yibum, because remember, we'll say, once he marries her, once he does yibum with her, then she's a full-fledged wife. This is in the state before yibum actually occurred. So the whole idea of giving a get to a yivama, to a woman who's waiting for yibum, that's a whole rabbinic concept. So the Gemara says, get the mahani be'eishes ish mahani be'gita. So the assumption is the rabbis always model their laws after biblical law. And therefore, I would say that any get that works with a married woman will work in this case. So we'll say again, the simplest way to answer this question is that we have to model it off throne. We have to model it after a regular case of marriage. So we'll say, what happens in a regular case of marriage if a man gives a woman to a get and he says, the get says, you are divorced from me, but not muteris to any other man. What's the status of that get? Puzzle, right? It doesn't work. Because remember, again, the whole idea of a get is it's a safer krisus. Dover hakoris bin olabina has to sever the marital bond. If he restricts who she could marry, then the marital bond is not severed. So on a simple level, I would say if a get doesn't work by marriage, it shouldn't work in this type of yibum situation either. On the other hand, O Dilma, Asi lechlufe begita. We'll say there's another concern. What's the other concern? If you say this get doesn't work, then what's going to happen? People are going to see him give her this get. Now you're mandating that. Now you're paskining that the get does not work. People might think that in general, if you give the yavama a get is not effective, and you could end up having a situation where the yavam gives the yavama a real get, and yet then what? And goes ahead and marries her afterwards, which of course I will say would be usher. So perhaps by yibum we should just say that any type of get, by definition, essentially dissolves the bond, and would obviously is still going to require chalitza afterwards. Amrlei, chayshinan dilma asi lechlufa begita. See, answered, you're right. Even though such a get, where he would say, hari at migureshes mimeni vi'i at muteres lechol adam, would not normally work by gittin. Perhaps by yibum we should allow it, because if we don't allow it, people may erroneously think that the reason it's not good is because there's no such thing as a get in this yibum context, and therefore even in a case where he gives her a real get, he may come to marry her afterwards. But if that's the case, meaning now what you're essentially telling me is that any type of get, even if it's technically a puzzle get, should work in a yibum situation. So when I say work, essentially what I mean is any type of get, even a puzzle one, would ultimately mandate chalitza afterwards. So if that's the case, let's say just give her a piece of paper. Blank piece of paper, and it just says in two big letters, get on it. Are you going to tell me that in that kind of case also, they'd have to mandate chalitza, because we're afraid that if you don't mandate chalitza there, a person may confuse this with a case of a regular get and end up marrying her afterwards? So the Gemara says, no. Amalei, hasam lo pasal b'kahuna. I will say, if a man gives a woman a blank piece of paper, that blank piece of paper does not do anything, meaning it doesn't even pasal her for the kahuna. On the other hand, hacha, in this case, I will say, where he gives her a get that has a stipulation that passels it, such a get would still go ahead and invalidate her from marrying a kohen. I will say, listen to this. What does this mean? This sanya, because we learned, the isha grusha me isha lo yikahu. The pasuk says that talking about the kohanim, that a woman who is divorced from her husband, they may not take. And the Gemara darshins, afilo lo niskarsha ela miisha lo yikahu. Even if she is only divorced only from her husband, a kohen still may not marry her. Rabbi say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, hacha pasal b'kuna, kohen shenasan get kazeli ishto, astra alav, vehilchach tivi lan ima hani mirabanan, ela miisha, v'lo yitril adon. Rabbi say, there's a very unique idea by kahuna. Let's say a kohen goes in and gives his wife a get, and the get says, Hare at migureshes mimeni, you are divorced from me, v'i at muteres l'chol adam, but you are not permitted to any other man, right? So what is the halacha? So remember, again, such a get is invalid, but for a kohen, he'd have to essentially divorce his wife. Why? Because by kahuna, the Gemara is making a drasha that even if she's just a divorcee, legabe him, but not a divorcee, legabe anyone else, lemaisa, again, what? He is not permitted to marry. I'll tell you where else this case could come up. Let's say, again, Reuven's married to Rachel, and Reuven gives Rachel this type of get. And then Reuven dies. and then Reuven dies. So what would be the halacha in such a situation? So we would say, well, he gave her a pasul get. She's an amana. She's not an amana. I mean, she is an amana, but she's not an amana legabe kahuna. Legabe kahuna, such a get, even if a get only divorces her from her husband, but does not permit her to everybody else, meaning essentially it's an invalid get, such a get still goes ahead and precludes her from marrying into the kahuna. Why? V'hainu reach haget sheposa b'kuna. We'll discuss this in Gittin extensively. This is what's called reach haget, the scent of a get. Scent of a get means a case that is not kosher, but yet again it has a little shmek. You know, it has a shmek get. So such a situation, again, ultimately, will preclude her from marrying into the kahuna. So the Gemara therefore says, that's why, again, you could see in a case of Yibum, if he hands her a blank piece of paper, that's nothing. But if he hands her a get, that essentially, again, is powerful enough to passel her for the kahuna, but not powerful enough to affect full-fledged divorce, I can understand why in such a situation, again, such a get would be effective by the Yibum case and would automatically mandate Chalitza. Amr Yechama. Amar Rabbi Barchama, Hari Amru. They said, Amar Echad LaLavlar Kasev Get LaRusasi. If a man, well, say, listen to this. A man said to the scribe, let's be Reuven is betrothed to Rachel. They did Erusin. So what does Reuven say to the? What does Reuven say to the scribe? He says, do me a favor, write for me a get for my Arusa. L'chesha Echnasena Agarshena, because I want to have it ready. Because as soon as I marry her, I'm going to divorce her. Maybe tax purposes, whatever it is, right? So Lemaisa again. So what happens? He's telling the scribe this during Erusin. Write for me the get now. As soon as I do Nisun, I'm going to divorce her. So the Gemara says, how is a get? So the truth is, such a get is technically is effective. Why? Because mostly at the time that the husband commissioned the sofer, so already they were married and he had the ability to divorce her. However, again, let's say the man said to the sofer, listen, you know, I've got my eye on Rachel. I'm going to propose, you know, I'm going to do Kiddush in the next couple of weeks. Do me a favor, write the get now, so that when I get married, ultimately I'll have it ready. To the Gemara says, ain't get, that in such a situation, a get like that is not effective. Why? Because Rabbi Say, in that situation, again, he has no ability to divorce us. So essentially, Rabbi Say, remember, a get has to be written l'shma. So what is it? Part of being l'shma is not just for the sake of a particular woman, but part of being l'shma means for the sake of a particular woman whom you are married to. If you're not married to her, but you're going to be married to her, you don't have the ability to write a get now before you are in a married state. So we'll say, we're just bringing some of these cases up now because we introduced the get case. So Rabbi Chama asked another kasha. So let's say you have the same case by the Yavama. What's the halacha? Look at Rashi. Now what does it mean, Liyavimto? Kasvu kodem shekansa ukishekansa nasnula mausha tegarishba. So we'll say, let's say again, lemaisa by the Yavama. Now let's say again, so Reuven dies, leaves behind Leah. Shimon is going to do Yibum. And before he does Yibum, he tells the sofer to write the get. So we'll say, here the kasha. What's giving the kasha? What is that case like? So mahu. So I want him to say that perhaps such a get should be effective. Why? Because they will say, what is it like? Since already they have what we call a zika, they have a connection. Therefore, again, it's like she's his arusa. Because it's like she's his arusa, he has the ability to write the get now. On the other hand, Dilma, kevan de lo avad ba ma'amar lo. On the other hand, because he did not yet do ma'amar, and ma'amar is like kiddushin, so it's like they don't really have a marital connection, and therefore, again, he can't go ahead and write the get. To which the Gemara says, Teku. Okay, Eliyahu Levi have to answer this for us. Boy Rav Chananya. Rav Chananya asks another kasha. Kasav get lezei kaso, velo lema'amaro. Lema'amaro, velo lezei kaso. Well, says, here's another interesting case. Let's say, he already went ahead. So again, Reuven died, leaves behind Rachel. Shimon does ma'amar with Rachel. Okay, now he wrote her a get. But in the get, he wrote her a get for the Zeka. He says, in this get, I am dissolving the Zeka. Or again, he writes, in this get, I am dissolving the Ma'amar. But let's say, he either wrote it for the Zeka and not for the Ma'amar. Or for the Ma'amar and not for the Zeka. What is the halacha? Mahu. What is the halacha? So we'll say, see, you hear this kasha. In this case, so again, he did the ma'amar, but in the get, he only specified that the get is only dissolving one of the two pieces, either the zeka or the ma'amar, but did not discuss both. Now, it would appear, if he wrote nothing, it would appear that bepashtos, it's dissolving both. But let's say he specified one of the two. So what is the halacha? On the other hand, ma'amar, ilu ye zeka karami, Vahavile kimegarish chatzi isha. So I'll say, on one hand, I could say that ma'amar kind of comes on top of the zeka, and therefore, if the get only goes ahead and mentions one of the two, it's like you're divorcing half a woman. I will say, look at Rashi for just a moment over here. Ma'amar iluye zeka rami. Kisha asa ma'amar, when a man does ma'amar with a woman, nidbak ima zeka, it attaches itself to the zeka, vinitosif ale, and it adds on to it, ve'ein get mo'il azeh below zeh. Therefore, Rabosai, in order to dissolve a union, which ma'amar was effective, the get must dissolve ma'amar and zeka together. The chayvan shin, because again, they're one unit now. The chayvan shinichta besocha get shlo aso elele echa mehen, havele kimigarish chatzi isha velo klum, hi umuteres lo. So we'll say lemaisa again. So on one hand, the way you could say that you do ma'amar, now in the progression of things, we assume the zeka exists first, the zeka is the bond, and then ma'amar on top of it. So on one hand, you could say, when ma'amar comes along, ma'amar builds on top of zeka to form one unit of cohesion between yavam and yavama. Therefore, in order for a get to go ahead and dissolve this union, the get must simultaneously dissolve both the ma'amar and the zeka together. And if you only dissolve one part, then what? It's like divorcing half a woman. What happens when you divorce half a woman? What do you have? Right, one angry wife, right? Right, but she's still your wife. She's still, you can't divorce half a woman, so meaning it wouldn't be good. On the other hand, v'amigarish chitzilah saklum, o dilma, hailichu dekoi. And this is very interesting. Or maybe on the other hand, I would say that what? No. Zeka is by itself, and ma'amar is by itself. And therefore, Rabosai, if the get dissolves one, then lemaisa, again, what? That works. Rabosai, now this is very interesting. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, oh, dilma, hailichu dekoi, v'hailichu dekoi. So listen to this. Let's say if you view them both as separate, independent things. There's zeka, and there's ma'amar. They're both separate. So, umahani. So listen to this. Say if you say that ma'amar and zeka are two different things, then what? When you write a get for one of those things, that get is effective. Now watch this. Let's play this out. So let's say again, Reuven dies, leaves behind Rachel. Let's say there's two Sepharian brothers, Shimon and Levi. Shimon does ma'amar with Rachel. Then what happens? He gives her a get. And in the get, he says, this is your get for ma'amar. If he dissolves the ma'amar, then they both say, what is still in existence? The zeka is still in existence, which means what? That Levi, the third brother, could still do Yibum. If, on the other hand, he gives her a get for the Zeka, what happens when you dissolve the Zeka? Then Rabbi said, at that point in time, no one could do Yibum. Everyone has to do Chalitza. So again, so which one is it? Do we say, essentially, is it interesting Chakira? Does Ma'amar build on Zeka? In which case, can they become one cohesive unit? And to dissolve it, you must dissolve them both together? Or do we say they're two separate entities that can be dissolved individually as well? To which the Gemara says, "V'tivshot le'mid Rava." We should be able to easily answer this question based on Rava. What did Rava say? The Amar Rava, "Nasan get le'ma'amaro." If a man gave a get for his ma'amar, "Hutrat sarasa," then what? The co-wife becomes permitted. The co-wife becomes permitted, right? So again, so you see over here that what? That he holds that once you dissolve ma'amar, everything becomes permitted. She's permitted. To which the Gemara says, "L'Rava pshitale, l'Rabbi Chananya mi'boyle." Okay, to Rava it was pashut. Rabbi Chananya had a kasha. So how do we resolve Rabbi Chananya's kasha? To which the Gemara says, "Teku." Once again, teku. Okay, chalat va'asa ma'amar. So we'll say, what happens if l'maisa again? He did chalitza and then ma'amar. Remember again the Mishnah Paskin that if you did Chalitza then Ma'amar, that Ma'amar is an effective why? Because the Mishnah stated that once you do Chalitza, anything after Chalitza is absolutely ineffective. Anything after chalitza is ineffective. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, Zutiv Rabbi Akiva. These are the words of Rabbi Akiva. The Amar Ein Kiddushin Tovsin, Bechai Ve'lavin. Because you also remember, once you do chalitza with a woman, then what? You can't marry her because she is asur to you through a lav. So Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that what? That you cannot affect Kiddushin with Chai Ve'lavin. And therefore, again, that's why the Mishnah says anything you do after chalitza will simply be ineffective. But the Chacham say, yesh achar chalitza klum. No, you can marry this woman even after chalitza. And I will say, when we say you can marry her, what does that mean? Are you allowed to marry her? Absolutely not. But if you didn't marry her, the marriage works. The marriage works. Umi matis mukmus like Rabbi Akiva. Can you really establish the Mishnah like Rabbi Akiva? V'hakatani resha. But yet again, the resha of the Mishnah stated, Nasan get v'asa ma'amar. If he went ahead and he gave a get and then he did ma'amar, tzricha get v'chalitza. Then you have to go ahead and give her a get for the ma'amar and chalitza. Be Rabbi Akiva, and if it's Rabbi Akiva, Kevan Diyav Laget Mimahani Ma'amar. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that, remember, once there's a lav in place, you can't affect any more kiddushin. So according to Rabbi Akiva, once you gave her a get, once you gave the Yavam a get, would Ma'amar even be possible? Vatani, we learned, Rabbi Akiva says, Minayim, the Nosing Yad Levim, Toshinazra, love Alam is, how do we know that once you gave a get to your Yavama, to the woman waiting for Yibum, how do you know that she is prohibited to you forever? Shene'emar, lo yuchal ba'la harishon ashal shalcha. Because the pasuk says that the first husband who went ahead and asher shalcha, who went ahead and sent her away, may not go ahead and take her back. Achar shiluach, where does Rabbi Kiva darshins? After you sent her away, i.e. give her a get, there is nothing more to talk about. To which the Gemara says, so according to Rabbi Akiva, therefore, once you gave her a get, ma'amar should not be possible at all. And yet the Mishnah says it can happen. Ravashi, no. Get yamin drabanan. First of all, understand the whole idea of giving a get to the Yavam is drabanan. Ukra asmachta ba'alma. And the passage that we're quoting over here is simply an asmachta. I will say, remember, an asmachta is a biblical allusion to a rabbinic law. So Rabbi Akiva does not literally mean to say it would be asr midoraisa, but rather it's midrabanan. To which the most tayyanam ha'echibresa that supports this. Amr Rabbi says, Ein hadvarim halalu amurim el ladiv Rabbi Akiva. The words that we are saying now are only in accordance with the position of Rabbi Akiva. Shahaya osa chalutza ke'erva. Because Rabbi Akiva would go ahead and make the chalutza like an erva. Rabbi Akiva says, the woman who did chalitza is no different than any other erva situation. Avacham, the chachamim say, yesh achar chalitza klum. The chachamim rabos, I say that no, even though you're not permitted to marry a woman with whom you did chalitza, if you did marry her, nevertheless, what? The halacha is, the kiddushin would work. Va'ani omer, and I say the following. Va'ani omer, ema say, when is this true? Bizman shekich, or when is what true? When do we say that even after you did chalitza with the woman, that kiddushin could still work? When is that true? Bizman shekidsha l'shum ishus. That is only true if you are mekadish her for the sake of marriage. Aval kidsha l'shum yavmus. But if after doing chalitza, you and I are mekadish her for the sake of yibum, ein achar chalitza klum. Then that kiddushin does not work. Now, I will say, now what's the logic behind that? If you go out and you did chalitza, let's work backwards. If you did chalitza and then you want to be mekadisha, you be mekadisha for the sake of yibum, why doesn't that kiddushin work? Because there's no yibum, because you did chalitza. See, if you be mekadisha for the sake of yibum, then that is kiddushin betos. That's a mistake in kiddushin. Therefore, it doesn't work. But if you're mekadisha for the sake of marriage, even though what? It's aser, but because technically it works, such a kiddushin will be chal. Tanya, we have another braisa. Hacholis liyavim tov v'chazer v'kidsha. If one does chalitza with his yivama and then his mekadisher, Rebbe says, im kidsha l'shum ishus tzricha hemen get. If he went ahead and betrothed her for the sake of marriage, so the marriage works, and what, kiddushin is effective, and then what, you have to divorce her. Why do you have to divorce her? Why? Because the marriage is illegal. But the marriage requires a get because it was a full-fledged marriage. On the other hand, l'shem yavmus, if you betrothed her for the sake of yibum, ain't tzricha hemen a get. You don't have to give her a get. Why don't you have to give her a get? Because also Rebbe is of the opinion that what? if you did it for the sake of Yibum, then that is totally mistaken, because there is no Yibum, because you already did Chalitza. Therefore, there was no Kiddush, and therefore you don't have to give her a get. The Chum, on the other hand, Bein Shekach L'Shem Ishos, Bein Shekich L'Shem Yavmos, whether you betrothed her for the sake of marriage, whether you betrothed her for the sake of Yibum, Tzricha Heimena Get. You have to go ahead and give her a get. So I'll say, Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, my time with the Rebbe, what's Rebbe's logic? So the Gemara says, Aso Ka'odra B'nechsi Ager, well, listen to this, because Rav Yosef, this is actually a very interesting case. Rav Yosef, if let's say a ger dies, a convert dies, and he dies, and obviously, let's say it's a situation where he has no relatives. So let's say the convert owned the field, he had no relatives. So we'll say, what is the halacha? That field is hefker. Bless you. That field is hefker, which means whoever gets it first owns it. Now we'll say, now how do you acquire land? One of the ways you could acquire land is by working it. So let's say, imagine the following case. I am neighbors with the ger, the now deceased ger. And what happens? I'm going ahead and plowing my field, and I don't realize, but I go over my property line, and I'm plowing the ger's field. So now I've done an act of plowing on the ger's field, so I would say, well, I acquire it. Right? To which the Gemara says, no, you don't. Why not? Because I have no idea what I'm doing. See, I think I was plowing my field. Because I didn't have kavana ultimately, again, for the act of acquiring the ger's field, therefore the Maisa, I am not kone it. So I will say again, therefore the same logic would be over here, that if I think I'm doing Yibum, but what? Yibum cannot be, or I think I'm marrying this woman in Betoras Yibum, but that can't happen because Yibum can't occur in that case. No marriage is effective. To which the Gemara says, I'm going to buy it. One second, meet them. How can you compare the case? In that case, where I'm plowing the field, I don't even have in mind to acquire the ger's property at all because I don't even realize that I'm plowing his field. But in this case over here, where I'm trying to marry the woman even after I did Chalitza, I'm trying to acquire her. Halo Damya, that could be, Rebbe says, that only compared to the case of what? It's comparable to a case where I'm plowing the field of a ger who died without relatives, but I think I'm plowing the field of Yosef the ger. But in fact, I'm plowing the field of David the ger. Rabbi will say, what is halacha in such a situation? I do acquire that field. Why? Because even though I'm thinking about the wrong person's field, nevertheless, what? The act is an act of acquiring property. And since I have in mind to acquire property, the fact that I think it's a property of a different owner does not in any way change the fact that I've done an act of acquisition. Says Rebbe, that's comparable to this case. Even though the Yavam thinks he's now doing Yibum, which in fact he's not, why is he not doing Yibum? We'll say, why not? Because he's already done Chalitza. But since he has in mind to go ahead and acquire her, so he has the wrong mechanism in mind. Yeah, or I should say, he has the wrong person in mind. He has in mind the Yavama. In fact, she's not the Yavama. Who is she? She's a lady. She's not the Yavama anymore because he did Chalitza. She's just the woman. So Rebbe will say, in that case, the same way that if I thought I was plowing the field of Yosef the Ger, but I was plowing the field of David the Ger, such an acquisition will work. Why? Because I have in mind for the right mechanism. So too over here, if I have in mind to marry if I have in mind to do Yibum, again, the mechanics of Yibum are marriage. I have in mind to do marriage. It's the wrong person. I think it's the Yavama, but in fact, it's a Stam woman. Rebbe still says it should work. Rebbe still says it works. So the Gemara says, "Elo older say ger, kusaver ger acharu dekani." So say, all right, we'll stop over here. Elo Amar Abaye. Now, I just want to show you something very important. With this, we'll conclude. So remember, we're still going to leave off over here with the machlokis between Rebbe and the Chachamim. Rebbe and the Chachamim. Remember again. So Rebbe is going to say that Lamaisa. Let me just find it in here. Right. Rebbe is going to say that. Right, Rebbe was one who framed the machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva. Right, the Chachamim are going to say Yesh Achar Chalitza Klum, but Rebbe qualifies it as saying, when do the rabbis say that even after you did Chalitza? I'm sorry, let me just frame this the better way. Rabbi Akiva is the one who says that after you did Chalitza, nothing doing. You can't affect any kind of marriage with this woman anymore. Why? Why? Because Lemaisa, again, Rabbi Akiva holds that Ein Kiddushin Tovsin Bechai Ve'Lavin. The Chachamim hold that Yesh Kiddushin Tovsin Bechai Ve'Lavin, and therefore, even after you do Chalitza, you can affect Kiddushin with this woman. But Rabbi says, qualifies it. Only if what? When can you affect Kiddushin with her? Only if you're doing Kiddushin for the sake of Kiddushin. If you're doing Kiddushin for the sake of Yibum, then what? Then Lemaisa, it should not work because, again, there is no Yibum in this situation. So remember, is it my time? Right. So then remember again, so we're going to continue with this sugya tomorrow. I just want to show you one quick thing. So we'll say, remember again, we started today with a statement of Rav Huna. Rav Huna said that you should not do Yibum without Ma'amar. So we'll say, the Rambam, in the beginning of Perek Beis, Hilchos Yibum said, listen to this. Medivrei Sofrim, Shelo Yavo HaYavam Al Yivimto Ad Shiyakadish Osa Bifnei Edim Bepruta or B'Shavar Pruta. That one should not do Yibum without first doing Ma'amar. In other words, you should do Kiddushin first. Give her a ring. Give her a davar sheish moshav pruta. Do it in front of two witnesses, just like regular marriage. The ein ha ma'amar kona biyivam a kinyan gamar kimoshi ispar. Even though again ma'amar does not affect your yibum, va'osem ma'amar biyivimto shalomi data lo asuklum. I will say if you do ma'amar against the woman's will, such an act is absolutely meaningless. She'ein ha'isha miskadeshes el lirtzona. Kozum nikol only become mikudesh according to our boss. In other words, what I'm saying, this is amazing. Even though yibum could take effect without the consent of the woman, and Yibum does not require anything more than Bia, Chazal mandated that you have to go through a Kiddushin process in the process of Yibum. You must first be Mekadish the woman. Now again, if you did Yibum without Ma'amar, then what's the halacha? Yibum still works. But just Midirabbanon, we mandate Ma'amar first. Why do we mandate Ma'amar first? In order that this process should look a little bit more like a normal marriage, and in order to avoid essentially any semblance of pritzos, any semblance of immorality, because going right to Bia could look a little bit pritzosic, even though that's what the Torah allows for, to create a more normative construct of marriage in this particular situation, Chazal mandated Ma'amar first and Yibum afterwards. I have to also stop over here.
I think you pulled Friday morning. What's that?